This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
I've been preparing for this all my life.
Here's Porter on Harden, taking him to school.
What a great play by Jayshon Tate.
KJ Martin climbed Boban Mountain.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
And you've seen tonight that we fought together, we stayed together, and it's about damn time, man.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What is up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. Now, joining us today by way of the Locker Room app, as he does almost each and every week, I'm still going to give you hell about that. He's here, the man, the myth, the legend, the Athletics, Ali Khan Bijani. What's up, Ali Khan? How you doing, my guy?
Good. How are you?
I am good. I am doing better than you because your Hawks are currently getting blasted as we record this on a Tuesday evening live via the Locker Room app, 9 p.m. Central, as we do each and every week. But we have a loaded episode because we're talking Jayshon Tate today. It's going to be a good episode.
Who is Jayshon Tate?
Is this a philosophical question that you have for me? Who is Jayshon Tate?
Yeah, it's more of a philosophical question. Come on, guys. We all know who Jayshon Tate is. This guy's a legend in the game of basketball already. So
when it comes to Jayshon Tate, and I think we're going to do this very similarly to how we approached our Christian Wood season review, is we want to kind of scale things back for a minute and think about the expectations for Jayshon Tate coming in. Now, Ali Khan, I'm not sure how much film work you did looking at Jayshon Tate before, you know, he took the court as a Houston Rocket, but I remember when there was that rumor that he was going to sign with the Rockets, and then there was kind of that associated rumor alongside him and Will Weaver, and there was that idea, the speculation, that if the Rockets landed Will Weaver as an assistant, that Jayshon Tate would soon follow. And sure enough, that's basically the sequence of events that took place. And I remember as the rumors were kind of swirling that the Rockets might land this, you know, 6'4", forward tweener, you know, wing player out of Australia, I was thinking, okay, well, what's this guy all about? And I remember looking at the film thinking, wow, this guy can hoop. Like, this guy's got a really nice handle on the ball. He kind of does a little bit of everything. He's a, you know, ridiculously talented lefty. And just thinking, again, I got kind of those like Draymond Green-esque vibes from him. But what was your first impression of him before he even stepped foot on a court as a Houston Rocket?
Yeah, you know, the thing about Jayshon is that he understands, as even a rookie, I mean, I know a lot of people like talk about his age, but he's still a rookie in the NBA. The NBA is a completely different league than everywhere else. He understands that he has to go at it 110% each time. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you're somebody who is entering the league, and you're, you know, learning not just about the speed of the game, but also just an offense, a defense, you're understanding what your role is in the league. The fact that he was able to pick all those things up quickly and assert himself and be consistent is something you don't see often from a rookie. And that's something to me, it stands out about him really well. The second thing is his durability. This guy played 70 games this season. How long was the regular season?
72.
Well, then there we go. He only missed two games. I think that's also very impressive. Not only did he play 70 games, he played almost 30 minutes per game. You know, he's one of, I think, I was looking back at it before we did the podcast. He's one of, I think, 12 rookies going back the year 2000 to have average numbers he did as a rookie. He's the first rookie to put up numbers he did since Paul Pierce in his first season. I mean, there's just all these things. He's getting tied to players who had long careers, good NBA careers in the league. And that's what's really impressive to me, that he's shown up, he's put in the work, he understands he has to put in the work all the time. And now, you know, he's showing that he can be a consistent, everyday type of player.
And you go back a little bit, you know, rewinding the clock still towards the beginning of the Rockets season. I mean, coming in, you know, we had that cloud looming over the franchise, you know, what's going to happen with James Harden. And that was obviously the big story to start the season. And then lo and behold, we hear this story, and I think Shams was the one who broke it, but that Jayshon Tate threw a basketball at James Harden in Rockets practice, and that became like the new thing. Like, what is this kid doing? He's, you know, he's in practice going at James Harden. We found out later is, you know, it's nothing serious. And, you know, you have moments like that where, you know, people get heated in practice and everything. But then we saw him take to the basketball court, and we really understood the type of player he is, the intensity that he brings on a nightly basis. And it's no surprise that things might have gotten a little testy in practice between he and James Harden.
Yeah, and honestly, I remember Jason had talked about this with my colleague Kelly Yiko, and he just brushed it off and said it's just basketball. You know, that's just kind of what you want. It was during training camp. They were having really close games when they were playing 5-on-5, 3-on-3. And that, you know, they had chippiness and chatter. And I mean, that's what you want when you have a young team like that. You want your young guys to start growing in confidence. And I don't see any ill will between the two. Actually, Harden and Tate have a good relationship, even while he was here and even beyond. So I don't see any issues there. But that kind of just shows you the fact that Tate is mature beyond his years. He has played professionally, which helps him a lot. But this is a guy who shows you he can be a consistent everyday player, and also somebody who's growing into a leadership role, even as a second-year player now with the team.
How do you feel? Do you think he's going to get an All-NBA rookie first-team nod, or do you think he's going to miss out on it?
You know, what stood out to me was the fact that he did not land in the top three for Rookie of the Year. That came out already, right? And more am I crazy? Rookie of the Year already came out, right, or no?
I think it did. Somebody in the chat, help us. Okay, Don's got us. There it is. Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, I was like, wait, that was one of the earlier ones that they announced. So yeah, that makes sense. So LaMelo, Anthony Edwards, and Haliburton.
Yeah, and so that tells me that I don't think it's a slam dunk or guarantee, but it is a possibility. It is a shame if he is not included. This guy was one of the best rebounders as a rookie. He's one of the best defenders as a rookie. One of the best passers as a rookie. I mean, those are things that you want in a young player like that. He definitely deserves to be on there. I think we talked about this, a few months ago. You know, is he somebody who's going to be on an all-NBA defensive team in the future? You know, with the changes he's going to make, especially kind of working around screens and being a good help defender, he's going to work on that. He watches a lot of film, and he's already started watching a lot of film even beyond after the season has concluded. I think he's going to be an all defensive team in within the next 2 to 3 years.
And like you said, it'd be a shame if he didn't get the nod to first team all rookie, but he definitely was a standout candidate this year. And I do think that his future does hold an all defensive team selection because he just works so tirelessly on that end. He can guard positions 1 through 5. He's so effective in a variety of ways on that side of the basketball. I think as long as he continues to grow his game, which is what we're going to talk about coming up here in just a second, talking about, you know, the areas that we want to see him improve, some of the standout games that he had this season. But first, we've got to talk about our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, who has to be none other than Jayshon Tate. Because look, Tate fought hard all season long, right? This was a tragic Rocket season, 17-55, easily the worst season in recent memory. But Tate was the best defender amongst all rookies, finished in the top 10 in all the counting stats across the board for rookie players, had career highs of 25 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, all on, you know, separate occasions, but some really solid career highs for a rookie. Numbers almost as good as Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. And personally for me, my favorite Jayshon Tate moment from this past season. I mean, there's a lot to count, and I'm sure we'll, you know, talk about a few of them, a few of the other ones coming up in just a second. But for me, I'm going to have to go with his insane poster over this year's NBA MVP, Nikola Jokic, because that was so early on in the season, and it was really just kind of a glimpse into, oh, okay, now we know what this kid's all about. You know, he's about that life. He's gonna, you know, yam it down on somebody if he's got the opportunity to do so. And we just saw him kind of just continue to take off and grow from there. But Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Jayshon Tate's play and development this season was a bright spot for the Rockets, and that is why he is your Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Another message from Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with me. You can talk with Ali Khan. You can talk with other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. We host rooms like this one every single week for Locked On Rockets, 9 p.m. Tuesday nights, which means you can finally join in on the conversation that you listen to every single day. So go download the Locker Room app if you haven't yet. Available on all iOS devices. It's also in beta now for Android devices. Create a profile, link your Twitter, join the NBA channel, stop by, come hang out every week, 9 p.m. Central Time, Tuesday nights for our Locked On Rockets film room sessions with Ali Khan Bijani. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting, of course, with Ali Khan Bijani of The Athletic as we do each and every week by way of the Locker Room app. Now, Ali Khan, with Jayshon Tate, as we're continuing our review of Jayshon Tate's season, I think there's some areas that we want to discuss as far as areas of needed growth in his game, and I think we're going to kind of push those towards the end of the segment, segment three-ish. But off the top of your head, which performances of his jump to the forefront of your mind when you're trying to reflect on this NBA season?
I believe it was against Memphis, and it was the game that Christian Wood went down. But he was a plus 30 in that game. Now, you may need to help me remember what exact game that was. But he was a plus 30. The reason why I think that's my favorite is the fact that the Rockets won by 12. He stepped up on the defensive end, especially in the second half. You know, he played 31 minutes, and he's just a trustworthy player for his team. Like, he's always in the good spots. He's always pushing the ball. He can pass the ball. He can knock down shots when he needs to. I mean, he's just somebody he puts himself in such great positions for his teammates. And when you lose a guy like Christian Wood to an ankle injury that occurred that game, having a guy like Jayshon Tate have the ball in his hands a lot more, has shown, and we've seen that throughout the course of the season, to be a positive thing. And I think I just discovered a new nickname for Jayshon Tate. Whenever he steals the ball, that's Jayshon Take. Okay, sorry. That's just, you know, me trying to be funny.
Oh, man. But, no, that is beautiful. Jayshon Take. Oh, I like that. That is spicy.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best rookies in terms of steals as well. So I think that he deserves to have that. He's one, you know, by the way, post All-Star break, he was one of 10 players to average at least 12 points per game, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and almost 2 steals a game. So, Jayshon Tate.
You also can't just leave your bold prediction in the comments, Ali Khan. Come on, you've got to share it with the audio only audience as well.
Is that a segment three thing, or do I have to say it now?
You know what? We'll push it to segment three. We'll leave a couple bold predictions for segment three. That'll be yours. I'll have to figure out one on the way there. But for me, and similar to Ron, you know, mentioning it in the chat, I think the games that really stood out were when we started to see just how capable he was with the ball in his hands and utilizing him as a playmaker. And I remember after the first game, first post James Harden era game, which was one of the games that we mentioned talking about Christian Wood and how big that game was from a, you know, morale standpoint to go out there and win the very first game after trading James Harden. Christian Wood had a really big game, but so did Jayshon Tate. He had 10 assists in that game, 13 points, 5 boards. He was a plus 17 in a 4-point victory. So, I mean, that was one of those games where we saw Jayshon Tate basically orchestrating the offense because the Rockets didn't have anybody else. If memory serves, I don't think John Wall played. They didn't have any other like traditional guards to run the offense in that game. In fact, their starting lineup was Sterling Brown, PJ Tucker, Christian Wood, Jayshon Tate, and Ben McLemore. And then off the bench, they had Nwaba, Cousins, KJ Martin, and Mason Jones. So basically, Jayshon Tate played point for almost the entirety of the game that he was on the floor. And I remember asking Steven Silas not long after that game, you know, what it means to have, you know, a guy like Jayshon Tate, who's essentially like a point forward to have on the roster, and how he, you know, is able to utilize that you know, in the offense. And I think that we saw that as the season progressed, we saw more variations of Silas being willing to let Jayshon Tate kind of steer the offense at times and have other guys play off of him rather than, you know, Jayshon Tate just spotting up in the corner or just being a screen setter and, you know, a rim runner, that kind of thing, which I thought was a really cool development for his game.
No, I think so as well. And, you know, one thing that's really interesting, and you mentioned about Jayshon kind of handling the ball as well, that he's much better on the move. And when I say that is whenever he's stationary, he has the ability to kind of get passed by the initial defender. But when he's running dribble handoffs or when it's a high screen and roll or when he's catching the ball and then getting it to a screen, those are the best types of plays for him because he can pick up steam ahead of steam and get downhill. When he gets downhill, he has a good left-handed pass he can make to the near side corner or the near side wing. I think as he improves, he'll be able to make those cross-court passes as well. But that is something that's been really interesting. And why I think that could be very important in the near future is that they have Christian Wood. They have Kelly Olynyk possibly next season. Let's say you bring in a guy like named Evan Mobley in the draft if you get one of those picks, if it's not Cade Cunningham. There's a situation where you can have those three guys along with Jayshon Tate on the floor, and you can essentially run horns with 3 6-10 players or above, or you can have Jayshon Tate run point and just kind of, you know, scramble the defense because you have so many bigger and tougher guys on the floor. I think we're starting to see a trend out here in the NBA that physicality and speed is what matters. The Rockets have speed. They're growing in physicality, trying to add players with more physicality. If they can get both those things, they can actually play the style of bully ball and the 2-on-1 advantage that Steven Silas wants to play. And I think Jayshon Tate is a perfect example of the way they want their physicality to show on both ends.
Is there a world in which, I know that obviously the way the NBA is trending, you know, it's a positionless game, but is there a world, as you kind of alluded to, with, you know, potentially trotting out three, you know, 6'10 type players all at the same time, but is there a world where you could foresee Jayshon Tate starting as essentially what would be the two guard slot for this Rockets team down the line?
No, I mean, unless he starts shooting the three ball at a 37%+ clip on at least 5 attempts a game, I don't see him ever being a shooting guard. I think he's best served as a 3, possibly a 4.
But can I put a caveat on there and just say, but what if they're shooting at the other four positions? Like if you have shooting out of positions, you know, all the other four guys on the court are all, you know, reliable three-point shooters, and he's the one guy who's a little bit more so of a question mark, would that be a little bit more palatable to having him be in the starting lineup because of everything else that he brings to the team?
Well, it depends on who is their center. And why I say that is because Silas, like they do in Dallas, they like to play a drop coverage and pick and roll. Look at Steve Clifford, likes to play a drop coverage and pick and roll as a base defense. So Tate is getting better in terms of kind of staying on the hip and really good in isolation. He has to get better as a help defender. But if he can, you know, there is a chance he could possibly play that role. But I want to preface it by saying that there has to be an idea of that center can be a good defensive anchor. Christian Wood is trying to be that. He has to stay healthy. We've talked about it. We've also talked about the fact that he needs to strengthen up. We also talked about the fact that he needs to stay durable and kind of be able to observe contact on both ends. If he can do that, possibly you can do it that way. But you know, for me to say here that it's a thing that could be a permanent solution, I don't think so. I think he's best suited at a 3, and you want possibly two more ball handlers on the floor at that guard position who you can have Jayshon Tate play off of. I think as much as we like to see Jayshon Tate have the ball in his hands, he is even better as a screener. I mean, this guy has certain flashes during the season where, you know, when you're screening the ball, it's not just about kind of creating contact, about the angle of the screen as well. And Jayshon is really good at using his hips to not only set screens, but elongate screens and also change the angle. It's like he's pretending to go setting the screen on one side, but then at the last second switches to the other side to set the screen. Those kind of re-screens, rejecting of the screens for ball handlers is very important to create an advantage. And then Jayshon is also very good at slipping those, getting inside and scoring in traffic. So those are things that I would like to see him do more of, and that he would be best suited to be able to do those things if he's playing at that 3 or 4 position.
Definitely want to follow up on that one because I have a concern of mine that I don't know if needs to be a realistic concern about Jayshon Tate moving forward. One of the areas of improvement that I'd personally maybe like to see out of him. And we're going to talk about that and kind of round out our review of Jayshon Tate. But first, a quick message from our friends over at Theragun. Look, don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Whether you're an elite athlete like Jayshon Tate or someone like me, just trying to make it through the day tension-free, Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, maybe an injury, or just the stresses of everyday life, there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. You can try Theragun for 30 days starting at only $199. So go to Theragun.com/LockedOn right now to get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/LockedOn. Theragun.com/LockedOn. And another message from our friends over at betonline.ag. Look, BetOnline is the fastest and it's the easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. You got baseball season in full swing. NBA playoffs are here, just not for the Rockets, unfortunately. They've also got NHL, UFC, you name it, they've got it over at BetOnline. So before the next pitch, before the next big game, head over to BetOnline. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. It's your chance to finally get in on the action. So head to their website and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's a 50% welcome bonus when you use promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today on the road to the finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. Now, continuing our conversation with The Athletic's Ali Khanbhijani, focusing on Jayshon Tate, his season in review. Now, there's two areas that immediately jump out, and then I've got a third for you, Ali Khan. But the first two are kind of obviously, and they're both shooting related, and that would be just his, you know, Jayshon Tate's three-point shot, his outside shooting, and then also his free throw shooting to a lesser extent. You know, a couple areas that are basically one and the same. Just he needs to become a better shooter, a more consistent shooter. But my area past those two, because that's something that we've even spoken about before on this very show. My area past that is, does Jayshon Tate need to develop a better offhand? Does he need to become better with his right hand? Or is he adept enough at getting to his left hand that it's not necessarily a concern moving forward?
You know, I want to talk about this because Kelly actually had a great article on Jayshon Tate recently. And he said he worked with...
You know what? Wait, before when are we going to get Kelly on the podcast?
That's a good question.
Let's just reach out to him. You know what? Just text him and be like, yo, my guy, like swing by for one of our Locked On Rockets film room sessions or something. We'll have all three of us. It'll be a blast. It'll be super fun.
How about this? I'll get him to come on after the lottery.
All right. Bet. All right. That's a bet. We're going to do all that.
Right. Okay. I know people love them some ego.
Right.
Okay,
if you FaceTime Kelly right now, would he answer? Like,
probably. He probably would answer right now, but I'm going to leave him alone. He probably got some busy. He's probably busy.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah, man. Like I'm telling you, if y'all have, okay. So there's an interview on YouTube. It's Chris Gardner and Kelly Ego. Okay. I think it's Houston Round Ball Review.
You can find the link in the episode description of every episode of Locked On Rockets. I always plug Chris Gardner's stuff because Chris is an amazing human being. Yeah. One of my mentors, as well as a mentor for Ali Khan. He's been amazing. If you're in Houston sports media, you know who Chris Gardner is. He's a cool dude.
Yeah. And so they had a conversation and they actually talked about towards the end of things around 34, 35 minutes where they talked about my relationship with Kelly, kind of how it started and how we became so close. If you guys are ever interested, y'all should watch that. Ignore everything he says about things after the University of Texas because they're not true. They're not real. I don't know what they're talking about. Anyways, back to Jayshon Tate and his footwork. So he's been working with assistant coach for the Atlanta Hawks, Chris Gent. And Chris Gent would always tell him to work on his footwork because that, you know, if you want to be successful in the NBA, he believed that you only needed to be really good with one hand, not two. So Tate is left-handed. It doesn't use his right hand as much when it comes to finishing, which is by design. So he's worked on footwork drills. He actually does that before games, you know, before attempting different shots. He does it. He shuffles his feet. He kind of does all these different things to kind of work to make sure that his footwork is at an elite level. And so I think that in that case, you know, he is much better off just kind of work, making sure that he can use those angles and maneuvers to get past everybody. The same thing with PJ Tucker. Look at PJ. PJ likes to shoot the basketball. When he goes for a closeout, he's most likely just going to shoot that right-handed floater shot in the lane. And I think that is just something whenever you are a 3-and-D type of player, a player who likes to go look at the defense, you know, attack the defense off of those closeouts, you need to make sure that you're doing so with something you're comfortable with, right? Because when you're in the corner, that's the closest you're going to be to the basket from the perimeter. And so from that sense, I think he is much better kind of using his hands to get there. Now, that being said, I think if he's so good at his footwork and he's really good with his left hand, he needs to become a better knockdown three-point shooter, especially at wide open on wide open attempts. I think there was a point last season that he was shooting 28% on wide open threes. Now, that's not good because almost about a fifth of his three-point attempts are wide open. So he needs to get better at, you know, putting his feet together, knocking down shots, kind of getting into it, being confident. There's the big key with Jae'Sean Tate's jump shot. When he takes it without hesitation and he looks confident, it's most likely going to go in. I don't have anything scientifically or statistically to prove that, but just from the eye test, it goes in. Whenever he takes a second or hesitates, that's when he usually misses. And so I think he just needs to get comfortable with his footwork, not only inside the paint, continue to work on that, but his footwork now on the perimeter, because he's going to continue to get more shots there as teams zone in more on Kevin Porter Jr. and whoever else they bring in the draft.
I do think when you're looking at the three-point numbers for him, I wonder, you know, and I've kind of waffled on this trying to figure out what a respectable number is for him. You know, obviously you'd love it if he could get somewhere up into the consistently, you know, 36, 37, 38 range, but is that realistic? I mean, maybe not. So you have to think about what a player provides you in all facets of the game, and for what he gives you defensively and the rest of his offensive repertoire, what percentage from three would you be comfortable with for everything else he provides? Are we talking 33%, 34%? Like, at what point are you like, okay, that is a livable percentage because of everything else you bring to the table?
I think he needs to be at least a 35 to 37% three-point shooter on volume. He can get there. I think he will get there starting next season, the season after that, but he needs to get there. And if he does, then he's going to be a lot more of a productive player on both ends.
All right. Well, my bold prediction, I've got two. I think he's going to crack 35% from three next season because he clearly knows that that's the area of his game that he needs to work on. So I'm fully expecting him to spend a majority of the offseason really working on his shot. And I think mechanically, there's nothing like wrong with his shot. Like, he doesn't have a bad looking shot. So, like you said, I think there's a confidence element there. And I think that, you know, spending more time this offseason knowing exactly what he needs to work on, you know, having gotten his first NBA campaign under his belt, knowing he's got a spot in this Rocket system moving forward, knowing that he's got the trust and the confidence of Steven Silas and the rest of the coaching staff behind him, I feel like he's, you know, poised to make a jump, which would be significant going from, you know, roughly a 30% three-point shooter up to 35% on volume. But I think he's very capable of doing that. And then to steal your moniker from earlier, I think Jae'Sean Tate is going to average at least two steals per game next season. What about you?
Okay, here's my big-time Charles Barkley guaranteed.
I guarantee.
Oh, my God. Don't ever do that again. But anyways, Jae'Sean. Oh, my God. I can't even hear that anymore. Jae'Sean Tate will average 15 points plus a game next season.
Ooh.
He averaged 11 points a game this season. I think he averages 15 plus points a game next season.
as Carly pointed out in the chat, it'll help to have Cade Cunningham put Jayshon Tate in some great spots next season to score even easier than he did this past season. So that's definitely going to be an area to look forward to. But Ali Khan,
I don't think the Rockets. Actually, I'm not going to say it. People will get mad.
Say it. It's okay. Say it. Say it. Say it.
I hope just for the Rockets fans' health's sake, I'm wrong. Man, you know, 52% is a very high probability number. You know, that's all I'm going to say.
Man, you know what, guys? This might be the last Locked On Rockets film room we do. I just, you know, we've got some HR issues to sort out behind the scenes. I've got some complaints with my cohort here. We're gonna have to address those once we stop the recording. But Ali Khan,
I'm kidding. I'm sending positive vibes your way. When you have the GOAT himself, Hakeem Olajuwon, going to the lottery, I mean, come on, you know, that's a good sign.
Are you sending positive vibes from DC or from Atlanta?
I will be
Mr. Atlanta Insider.
I will be in DC watching the lottery. Yo, you know where I went today? I went towards Capital One Arena and I saw our boy Russell Westbrook. I took a picture. I'm gonna post it on Twitter in a second. It's our boy Russell Westbrook in Wizards jersey. I was like, man, this guy is such a great guy. I'm happy for him. So
wait, he was just he was just like cruising the street? Like what?
No, it was just like they have like multiple posters of Russell Westbrook all over the Capital One Arena.
Oh, so you didn't actually see Russell Westbrook?
No, of course. He's probably in LA or something.
I was confused. The way you said it, and y'all can back me up in the chat, the way you said it, you were like, I was just driving down and I saw Russell Westbrook. Like,
no, let me tell you guys, it's hot as hell here in DC. It's probably hotter in D.C. than it is in Houston.
Yeah, but it's probably not anywhere near as humid, so I don't really want to hear it, man.
No. I think Dell is in D.C. too. Let me tell you, it is humid, bro. Oh, my God. I am so dark now. I got so tan like a matter of a few weeks. Like, my God, I miss Houston. But you know what? D.C. is great. They have public transportation, which Houston does not. So, yay.
Great. Hey, man, we did a really good job. We didn't derail at the top of the third segment. We derailed everything like at the tail end of the pod. So that was pretty productive of us. But you know the drill, man. You got to let everybody know where to track you down at.
You can track me down in Washington, D.C. No, I'm kidding. You can track me down. You can track me down on Twitter at @Rockets_insider. Have some great stuff coming for y'all soon.
All right, that is going to do it for our episode. Now, if you're in the locker room, you know the drill. You got to hang around because we're going to have Locked On Rockets After Dark with our secret topic. But if you're not in the locker room, please come hang out. Come see us 9 p.m. Tuesday every single week, 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. for the lame East Coasters. Sorry.
It's 10:38 or 10:40 right now.
Well, that's because we ran a little long because we were having a fun episode. But we've got Locked On Rockets After Dark coming up after this. So thank you all so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.